I was born bold.
Pivot, protect. Whatever your next move, choose Judo Bank. Essendon, Havel and Great Wall, sticking together with all of Melbourne.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
14 nil for how much longer? Ball's alive here. Out the back from Smith to Ola. There's your answer. It's 18 nil and a kick to come from Melbourne. They are blowing the Roosters away here.
No Cam Smith, no Cam Munster, no problems. The Melbourne Storm last night belted them 24-6. We don't know a hell of a lot about it. Erin Molan does from Channel 9, a good friend of ours, and she's joined us. Welcome, Erin.
Good morning. Your honesty is just so refreshing.
We put our hand high there. We get called out if we pretend that we know stuff that we don't know anything about, but we do know that they are a fantastic organisation that have been able to cover for two of their very best players. So tell us how impressive it was last night.
Oh, it was incredible. And you're exactly right. Without Cameron Smith, without Cameron Munster, arguably two of their best players, it's a phenomenal effort. And you're not just talking about a run-of-the-mill team that they beat either. You're talking about the Sydney Roosters. And I don't care how many players they have out, and they've got a fair few out. They are back-to-back premiership winners. They've got this incredible ability, and the Storm do it really well as well. It doesn't matter who they lose. They've got someone who comes in and does a really good job for them. They've both got the best cultures in the NRL, without any doubt. The last five or six times, and I started hosting Friday Night Footy a couple of years ago, and we've had, I think, four or five Roosters Storm matches, and it's either been golden point or 2 points or 3 points, and that's it, the last five or six times that they've played. To win with this kind of margin is just incredible. And look, Melbourne Storm, they lost Suliasi Vunivalu to an injury as well. You know, they're down on troops too. It's phenomenal. Craig Bellamy's just done really well this year in terms of keeping them under the radar. They've won eight in a row, but people in Sydney, it's almost like they're blind to it. They talked about the Eels at the start of the year as the premiership favourites. Now they're talking about Penrith. They're unbeatable. But the Melbourne Storm are just next level. That was amazing last night. I did not predict it would be that kind of margin.
Sonny Bill Williams, he's out of quarantine now. When are we going to see him playing for the Roosters? When do you think he's going to suit up?
Oh, look, Trent Robinson said last night not to get overly excited, that they're not going to rush him in. I don't think you'll see him next week. You probably won't see him the week after, to be honest. It's, you know, I know that you all like to think you're tough down there with your AFL, but rugby league is a very tough game. You know, the hits are brutal, and particularly at the moment, you know, when they've taken out the wrestler and that kind of thing, the hits are even bigger. The pain is even bigger. You can't put someone in who's not prepared and who's not ready and whose body won't be able to take. And look, Sonny Bill Williams is an incredibly fit player, very, very fit person just generally, but he'll need a couple of weeks of contact. It was, you know, when we went into the COVID shutdown, there was a lot of talk about how long players would need to get fit and ready. And these are players that had played a full pre-season and played the opening couple of rounds of the NRL. Yet, you know, the experts just determined that they would need at least a month to get their bodies ready for high impact. And that they're players that have gone through a full pre-season. Sonny Bill Williams will need at least a couple of weeks, and even then you worry that his body may not be ready, but they'll use him off the bench sparingly, I assume. But look, probably not for a couple of weeks.
Erin, I think you're underestimating how tough the AFL football is. Gary, who is the other guy you're talking to, he played with a buckled rib, Erin.
A buckled rib,
if you don't mind.
Stop it. Was his rib buckled? Get out of town. You know, last night Luke Keary had a broken rib that they think may have punctured his lungs or something like that. He might have been bleeding internally. He still played for a little while after doing that.
That's
so
nothing.
I would take that cue and raise
rib.
It. Nothing. So just can you just explain to me, what is a buckled rib?
Well, it's such a rare injury that
very
I
good
can't
question.
Even go into it. But I carry the scars.
You are so
day.
Brave. It hurts you to even think about it.
Hey, can you tell us, Erin Molan speaking to us, just the star of Channel 9, the Broncos, Anthony Seibold, he's not a quarantine breach. He had to deal with some family issues, so he's off. He's not coaching for a couple of weeks. But we know the club's in disarray. We know that they're in all sorts. So much so that it looks like Ben Eichen, can he host AFL 3 or NRL 360 and be the CEO of the Brisbane Broncos? Because our man Jared Waitley, who hosts AFL 360, wants to know.
Look, I suspect probably not. I think that Fox would be well and truly aware that they will lose him. It's interesting though, because you look at someone of the likes of Gus Gould, who's just been signed to oversee the New Zealand Warriors and their program. He was also looking at becoming a player manager. he has a lot of fingers and a lot of pies. He ran Penrith as well at one stage, but there's a lot of talk and doubts about whether you can do that role without a conflict of interest. And I think, you know, Ben Eichen's one of the best player turned hosts on television, and it's very rare. And I say this, by the way, just so other players don't think they can come and take my job at some stage. It's very hard to go from being a player and a commentator and an expert to being a host. And Peter Sterling is another one who did it brilliantly, and he's got this great ability to host impartially and also then slip into a commentator role when he needs to as well. I don't think Ben Eichen will try and do both. I think, you know, Brisbane are in such a shambles at the moment that club needs and deserves someone who is 100% committed to just doing that. So I think he'll just do that, and I think he'll get it. I think he's very highly regarded. He's a great brain, a great thinker. He's been part of boards and organisations before, up at the Cowboys as well. So I think he'll get that role and do a great job, but they need something to happen. It's embarrassing. You look at the talent and the calibre of players in that squad. You know, these aren't battlers. They're really not. They are incredible players. Yes, they're a little bit younger than a lot of other sides, but that shouldn't matter. When you go out in the park, you play for 80 minutes, you do your best. If every player in that team did their best each week, they could be a top four side. Andrew Johns, who's an immortal, a rugby league immortal, and, you know, he knows talent, he knows ability. He picked them to be a top four side at the start of the year. There are no excuses there. There are serious issues with the coach and with the players and with that relationship. And something's got to fold, something's got to move, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if a new CEO will help at the end of the year. I think something's got to be done probably, you know, closer to the grassroots, which is, you know, on the field with the players and the coach. But it's shambolic. And then you look at the things that are happening off the field. You look at Junior Tevita Pangai, who's going to the openings of you know, barber shops that are linked to the bikies. And, you know, it would be funny if it was not so serious. It's almost so rugby league that it's just ridiculous. You know, there's so much at stake. This is, you know, a $200 million game that one breach, one person, you know, getting COVID-19 will bring down an entire code and all the other hundreds and thousands of jobs and people that make a living off it. If it wasn't so serious, it would be laughable.
Well, Aaron, Buckledrib, Gary and myself are very big fans of push ahead Pete. Could he run the game and coach the Broncos at the same time? I'm not putting it beyond him.
Push ahead Pete. I don't mind that. Look, I reckon he could. I reckon there's not a lot that he couldn't do. I reckon he could. But look, I don't think they could afford him. I mean, he commands a lot of coin.
He does. He commands a lot of interest across the country too. Hey, the coaches sacking and the departures. Another one yesterday, Paul McGregor. He got sacked as the Dragons coach. We sort of think down here there's a bit almost like a moratorium on sacking coaches at the moment, given the unusual circumstances of COVID-19. But it hasn't been the case in the NRL.
No, it's absolutely bizarre. And you look at the situation that we found ourselves once the game was stalled, same as the AFL, and I know that rugby league went a little bit longer. I think they fought a little bit harder to keep going, but then eventually succumbed. There was so much talk about the precarious financial position of rugby league, the fact that clubs were totally screwed, for want of a better word, that the league itself could not afford to bail out clubs if they got themselves into, you know, really bad financial positions. So there was almost a thought, and it was just assumed, that no one would sack a coach this year, because how do you afford to pay out a coach? It's a kind of decision, it's almost a luxury to be able to afford to sack your coach, pay them out and get someone else in. But, you know, we've seen three or four so far this year. It's astounding. You know, it's almost irresponsible in many regards. You kind of, even the New Zealand Warriors with Stephen Kearney, I feel so sorry for him. I think he's probably the hardest done coach of anyone. He's a lovely bloke. And yes, I know being a lovely bloke doesn't make you a great coach, but I think he was a great coach under a really difficult situation. He brought an entire team over here, away from their family, away from their wives, away from their kids. The way they're playing at the moment, you've got to give some credit to Stephen Kearney. They have been phenomenal over the last couple of months. They're punching well and truly above their weight. And he was, you know, ruthlessly let go. There were so many people that made the comment, well, you know, people in the military go overseas for 2 years and leave their families and that kind of thing. And I just think, well, they make a decision with their families that they'll join the military, and they understand that that is what's required of them. The New Zealand Warriors, within about a week, were forced to make a decision to leave newborn babies, leave mums at home, leave families, leave, you know, mums with three under three at home by themselves. And this is not just in a normal situation. This is in the midst of a pandemic. And at that time, you recall that there were morgues being set up in New York. Italy's doctors were killing themselves because they were so distraught at the number of people dying. It was really a scary time. So for that club to do what they did, to go to another country, leave family behind, when no one knew what this pandemic would do, I think is just phenomenal. And then to sack the coach in the way they did, I think was fairly callous and fairly average. But look, it's a brutal industry. I know that better than anyone. But I think, yeah, I'm just as surprised as you. I think the AFL got it right when it comes to, I think this year you should have just let coaches do what they can under really tough circumstances and do something at the end of the year if you've got an issue.
Aaron, well said. The voice of reason. You've spoken beautifully. You've got a future in this, Caper, if you ever want to pick it up.
Do you reckon?
We let you go, are you in the GWS camp or the Sydney Swans camp? Just as a matter of interest.
Can I tell you, I actually grew up supporting AFL. AFL was actually my first love. And my grandpa was the biggest Bloods fan in the history of the world. And he passed away about 3 or 4 years ago. And I tell you, it's interesting. You think about the power of sport and what sport means to people. And Grandpa, it wouldn't matter what else was on, what we were doing. You'd walk into the house and he'd be sitting in his little armchair with the newspaper reading about the Sydney Swans. It was, and look, we all gave him a lot of joy, but the one thing he derived the most joy out of was watching his Sydney Swans. He used to talk to us about when they were South Melbourne, he'd go to the game and his mum would give him, now, I don't want to get this money wrong, either a thruppence, maybe that's way too old, or a different country, but he'd give a thruppence or something.
It's a thruppence, Aaron.
Tim used to deal in these.
Tim used to get paid
when he played for Essendon. Hey, we've got to get to the news, Aaron. You've been absolutely magnificent.
Continued
success.
Thank you.
We look forward to having a chat with you again.
Thank you so much, Jez. Love your work. Take care.
Bye, Aaron. Molan there. What a star. And the feedback here, absolutely sensational, except for one man whose number is 6857. You are off to the sick bay and won't return, you pig of a man. We'll be back after this.